Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Jasmine Gia, one of your hosts for today, and Ursula Rudenberg will be joining us later. It's a busy time with spring in full swing. I checked the phenology calendar, the calendar of events for animals and plants in the natural world. According to the calendar, here are some of what's going on during this and last week. Many species of butterflies are appearing in numbers. Baltimore orioles are nesting, tree swallows have returned, and the great horned owls and marsh wrens began laying eggs. In the plant world, blue flag and prairie ragwort are blooming, as are the wild garlic, and you may have noticed the wild phlox. Our whole backyard is waist high with a sea of purple. It's going to be warm with a high near 70 today with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms today. It's going to be a wet weekend with a chance of thunderstorms again on Saturday and at night 90% chance rain of thunderstorms, so that'll be fun. Again, on Sunday, 60% chance of rain and thunderstorms and precipitation, even more likely at night. By Tuesday and Wednesday, the sun should have returned, which is good for bike to work week. So next week is, in fact, Bike to Work Week, and we'll be speaking with Dan Degist from the Ames Bicycle Coalition later in today's show, and lots of events happening to celebrate and enjoy that. And it's going to be a good show today. I'll be introducing you to some folks from Latino Student Initiatives at Iowa State University, and they will be telling us about the annual Latino graduation celebration and another special event that they have. And then later in the show, I'll be bringing you some recordings of ISU students who shared their thoughts about the Black Lives Matter movement in our area. I interviewed them last week. Before we get started, though, we have to acknowledge everyone who contributed to last week's pledge drive to support KHOI. We set our goal at 15,000, and I have to admit, I felt a little scared about that, but we actually exceeded our goal by a few thousand dollars. And I think we are currently at $17,000, and checks are still coming in the mail. Please, if you made a pledge or are considering making a donation, please sending us a check or bring it in person so we can thank you. We can't say enough of how much we appreciate your being part of making this community radio happen, and not only by listening, but also by responding with financial support when asked. One fact I learned from our researchers this past week was that the primary reason people don't donate to organizations is because they are not asked. I know a lot of folks around here have had to step out of their comfort zones to ask. So your donation is doubly appreciated for that reason. We're gaining a new level of confidence at our station, our team, and our community. And if you are on KHOI team, congratulations and great job. This week we did a really good job pledging on the radio and had some really interesting shows last week. So thank you. Great. Well, we've got some great topics to cover this hour, and we've got some guests here patiently waiting, so let's get right into it. Graduation for Iowa State graduates is tomorrow, and finally, after four or more years for some, these students will finally receive their college degrees. And one student organization that plans their own graduation celebration focusing on Latino graduates is Latino Student Initiatives. Latino Student Initiatives focused an entire semester towards the planning and fundraising for this year's third annual Latino graduation celebration at Iowa State University. Here today to inform us more about the special graduation ceremony are Bernice Liborio and Bernice Real. That's correct. Two Bernices in the room, so let's start by introducing them so we don't get confused.
Hi, my name is Bernice Real, and I am a co-president for Latino Student Initiatives, and I'm also a sophomore in psychology at Iowa State.
My name is Bernice Liborio. I am also a sophomore in journalism.
Great. So you both are a part of the exec board.
Yes.
Right. Cool. So could you guys explain maybe what Latino Student Initiatives' mission is?
Yeah. So Latino Student Initiatives' mission is to develop a Latino community at Iowa State, develop and promote Latino student leadership, and empower Latino students at Iowa State University. And through our two main events, which are the Latino Leadership Retreat and the Latino Graduation, is how we carry on that mission.
Cool. So then I guess you help with retention among Latino students at Iowa State by doing the Latino Leadership Retreat. I went during my freshman year, and I can say that that's definitely a part of what gave me my sense of belonging at Iowa State, and definitely one of the definitive moments where I was like, okay, Iowa State is my home. So then I later became involved with Student Initiatives my sophomore year, but obviously dropped during my junior year. But yeah, so what is a profile of Latinos at Iowa State? Like, how many nationalities do you know of, maybe that have attended the retreat, or maybe that you just know of personally?
Well, overall, Iowa State, I know there's like about 1,200 Latino students at Iowa State. I could probably say it's the majority of that is probably from Mexican descent, but I know there's lots of people from Puerto Rico, from South and Central America. I think with the Latino Leadership Retreat, we definitely have a wide variety, and I don't think that – I think it's very much representative of the population at Iowa State.
Okay, and is this all – do you just accept, like, Latino U.S. born, or is it all, like, international students as well?
I think we – obviously try to include everyone. I think it's most whoever wants to be a part of it. I don't think we're very we don't accept people who are international students. If you identify as Latino and you want to attend these events, we're very much welcome to it.
Awesome. So why did you guys become involved with Latino student initiatives? What was that first step into being involved?
I think for me it was I know at the time the coordinator for retention for Multicultural Vision Program was Adele Lozano. I know I was at the Multicultural Student Affairs Office most of my time my freshman year, and she kind of like, she was really friendly and approachable, and I know she approached me and mentioned this retreat, mentioning I could be more involved and I would get a good feeling of home. And so that was, she gave me the link and I applied and I attended, and it was one of the best choices of my career so far at Iowa State.
Why was it one of the best choices of your career?
Just because I'm the first in my family to go to college and to go through that college process. So just being able to kind of be with people who can relate and understand what I'm going through and being there and saying, you know, I'm here if you need help for these struggles, it really made an impact on me.
And I also went to the Latino Leadership Retreat the same time that Bere also did. And I had heard about it from my brother. My brother is a junior at Iowa State, so he was here before me. And I had the same experience as many people say they did. I had an amazing experience. I could definitely say that during this retreat, I met most of the friends I have today. So that definitely helped with my sense of belonging as well. I definitely felt that I found my community after I went to that retreat, and I felt more at home at Iowa State. And then I had heard that you could also get involved with the implementation and planning of the next graduation and the next retreat. So I was definitely interested in doing that and having that same impact on the next year's cohort. So that's why I became involved.
Cool. What was your favorite, like, personal experience, either with the retreat or just maybe being part of the exec board?
I definitely had a lot of fun planning the Latino Leadership Retreat last fall. It was a great experience to be able to be on the other side of it and to see how the new cohort took the retreat. And I know they really enjoyed it. So it was just really fun to be on the other side and have that impact on other students.
New Bernice, other Bernice.
I guess for me, also facilitating the retreat, it was fun to be part of it and let the freshmen attending the retreat that there's many opportunities with LSI and you can enhance your leadership skills, which I thought was really important. And it made me also feel I grew out of my comfort zone. So I'm very thankful for that.
Cool. So how did you grow out of your comfort zone?
Well, for example, like once you be, I wanted to become part of LSI to be, to get that leadership experience and to be able to put, you know, something awesome on my resume, like LSI, one of the biggest Latino organizations on campus. And so, I know one of the things was like, hey, pick a topic. And mine obviously was leadership. And so I knew I had to come out of my comfort zone and speak to people, to many of the freshmen. And so that was pretty nerve-wracking, but I feel like I did a pretty good job.
Awesome. So let's talk more specifically about the Latino graduation ceremony or celebration. Does this replace, like, the larger commencement, or how is it different?
It doesn't replace the larger commencement. So the Latino graduation celebration is a little bit different because it's a smaller-scale event. We open it up to Latino students and their families, and what we really try to do is try to incorporate the Latino families into this celebration, so those families or those people who don't speak English have a little bit more understanding of the accomplishment that their student just made. So this event is in mostly Spanish, so we can understand and so they can understand it, and also we provide food that is ethnically Latino. So this event really just tries to incorporate them and make them feel welcome here at Iowa State. So they could, the graduates could go to their commencement, and then later on they could go to this event and kind of have more of that kind of small scale Latino family gathering.
So this is like a very special event for those who don't speak English, and they can finally understand the achievements that their sons or daughters made throughout their 4 years or even more at Iowa State University. Right. Has there been like a positive response or feedback from those who attended?
I think so. I think that students who do attend this event, they do like it, and I think their families also do appreciate it because they could see that they had a Latino community here at Iowa State, and that they also they get to just, like you said, understand a little bit more about their accomplishment because we have faculty and student speakers that can speak on that as well.
Yeah, awesome. So what is the atmosphere like? Why do they like it so much as well, other than speaking Spanish, of course?
We try to be a little bit more, you know, festive, have entertainment at this event. And I think it's just kind of the atmosphere that makes it closer. It's just kind of close-knit. You have everyone that goes to this graduation, they all know each other because they've interacted with each other at one point or another. And I think it's just, like I said, like kind of a close-knit graduation celebration.
Okay.
This is Ursula. I'm curious, how do people dress at the graduation?
They dress pretty formal, yeah.
So it looks like a regular graduation?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay. So how are the various Latino identities and cultures represented, since obviously there's not one type of Latino, there's, you know, from various countries?
So I know last year we asked for their kind of heritage or background. And last year for the event, we did flags of their origin in their in the decorations and the centerpieces. And this year, we also asked for their nationality and background. So we're going to kind of display that on a PowerPoint that is going to be played throughout the event. And we also just try to be openly open to all the nationality. So with the food, we do try to do from all different kinds of countries, not just one.
Could you give us an example of what that food looks like?
So this year we're having tostones and we're having rice. And rice, you know, it's kind of encompassing of a bunch of lots of different cultures. So we just try to have food that's kind of not just from one culture. And I know in the past it's we've been told that, you know, it's a lot of the food's kind of Mexican, or the music is kind of Mexican, because, you know, Mexico, people from Mexico are the majority kind of for the Latinos at Iowa State. So we try to, you know, open that up and so it could be more exclusive for more people from different countries.
Where does the food come from?
From ISU Catering.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about, the person during graduation who gives out the diplomas is a representative of Iowa State University administration or management.
Yes.
How's that handled during the ceremony?
Well, we work closely with our advisor, who is Tabitha Cruz from the Office of Multicultural Student Affairs. So she's very much knows what's going on, and she'll be the one who's helping us pass out these certificates. And we also let other faculty and staff from Multicultural Student Affairs know about this event. They'll also be attending.
So ISU sends representatives to
Yes, and to we help. Contact them. Mm-hmm. Yep. As well as the multicultural liaison officers, we have a part of the ceremony where they recognize one student from their college, and they also know about this the event and will be attending and speaking on behalf of their college.
Cool. So speaking about the graduates, how many graduates usually attend?
We have about 20 students attend, and this year we have 19. We had one student who couldn't attend. So usually it's around that number of 20. We very much try to increase that number every year. But with this year was kind of a struggle because we had space issues where we couldn't have more than a certain number of people. So that's what we had to kind of work with this year. But next year we are definitely planning on having it in a bigger location so more people can go and more people's friends could go, because I know lots of people try to or want to invite their friends. Mm-hmm. But when we only have a certain amount of people that can go, that could kind of be a struggle. So we're going to try to do that next year to have more people attend this event.
It's a fun atmosphere. It's definitely
warming to see how the families feel comfortable in this environment. I know last year an elderly lady came up to me. I think it was like one of the graduates' grandma. She was like, thank you guys for hosting this. This is like amazing. Like, I understand what my grandson did here and what he's going to continue doing. And that was very warming. And I hope LSI can continue doing that for the different families. And I'm just really excited.
And that's really the important part, I think, about this event is that you guys do it in Spanish and you make it, you know, comfortable for those families who don't speak English. Just make it comfortable for them to understand all the struggles that these graduates have gone through, all the blessings they've done, everything that they've done. So when do you guys graduate? Do you guys hope to be part of this?
Yes, I very much hope to be part of this, and I will be hopefully attending the Latino graduation in spring 2017. Fingers crossed.
So be participating as a graduate.
Yes.
Nice. Cool. So what has been the most challenging part about planning either a Latino graduation celebration or a Latino leadership retreat? Or blessing, whichever you would like to focus on.
I feel like for this semester, I guess, for like the Latino graduation ceremony, I know a conflict that we had was getting the event authorized. Mm-hmm. But we got that through. I know it was really nerve-wracking knowing that if it wasn't authorized, all this hard work that we put into it this kind of whole semester is just not going to happen. If it wasn't authorized, I was planning to have it anyway, or let the exec board, we should just have it anyway, even if we get in trouble. But
when you say authorized, you mean just them allowing you to have it, or
yeah,
to have it made, have some sort of official status?
Both. Being able to have it and having an official status through Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what the problem was? I mean, what held it up?
I think it was just, like, the year's winding down, so there's not that many events to authorize anymore. And it was just kind of taking a while to do that. But we had our paperwork in, and it was just yesterday we had a call, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's authorized now. So it was awesome. Just kind of having to push ISU events authorization to kind of get that done. But I think for me a struggle was I'm the co-president, and this is, like, the first time I'm kind of, like, in charge of a whole event, kind of. And it was just kind of a struggle trying to put everything in a line and just getting everything done and crossing things off my checklist. And we also had a committee that had a plan. So we also restructured LSI from last year. So kind of figuring that out and how that structure was going to be was kind of a work in progress, and I think we definitely grew this entire semester, and now we have an idea of how we should run, especially for the implementation and planning of the Latino Leadership Retreat, which is coming up next fall.
Do you have a lot of parents coming from out of town?
Yes, we do. We actually have lots of parents, and I think this celebration is a big reason that families come down, because they know they're going to go to an event that they can understand. And usually our students' guests go up to 10, even more. So they really do take this opportunity to bring their family, their extended family as well, that don't speak English. So we're looking forward to seeing all their families.
So thank you to Bernice Real and Bernice Liborio, two Bernices here in KHOI.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you guys for having us.
Y antes de morir yo
That was Guantanamero by the Mavericks, and this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Jasmine Murguia, one of your hosts today, and Ursula Rudenberg has joined us.
Last Friday was May 1st, and a few Iowa State students organized the second silent march for Black Lives Matter at Iowa State. Jasmine was there to ask people why they were supporting the movement. And in February, Jasmine had formerly interviewed a student and kinesiology major at Iowa State University named Jared Ingram about his experiences moving up in Ferguson, or growing up in Ferguson, excuse me. Since then, Ingram has advocated for the Black Lives Matter movement at Iowa State. And in this clip, you'll hear Jared and Selma Sims, another Iowa State student, speak about why they support Black Lives Matter. And after that, you'll hear some other students as well as they discuss this movement.
Basically, we're here today to draw attention to an issue that's been going on for many, many years. Recently, it's been a lot more attention drawn to it in the media, I think because people have started to get fed up with these instances that are happening, and that issue is the issue of police brutality. Basically, we're here today because we want every police officer across the nation to be held accountable for their actions, and we would like them to be trained in a manner where they're able to exercise maybe a little bit more restraint and assess the situation more before they decide to take someone's life. So that's the main thing that we're here for. To get equality as far as being represented in the courts fairly whenever a police goes on trial or is questioned about a killing, that they would be represented, I guess, more as a citizen of the United States. It feels like police officers are given a free pass, like their badge gives them a reason to kill. And that's something that we're here marching against today. And not only that, but we are here for the unfair representation of African Americans in those statistics when it comes to people that are killed and profiled and come in contact with police brutality.
And I interviewed actually in the beginning of the semester. Mm-hmm. Do you see what's happening in Baltimore, what happened in Ferguson? Do you see maybe a greater issue coming to hand now?
I wouldn't say a greater issue. I would say it's the same issue. It's always been the same magnitude. It's just that now people are realizing that we have a voice, and that if we want things to change, we have to exercise that voice that we have.
And what do you want Iowa State students to realize today?
The main thing I want them to realize is that this is an issue. I've had multiple people come up to me and say, this is not an issue about white and black, you guys aren't profiled, that people are getting out of hand with all the protesting and everything. And I want them to realize that it is an issue. We are being racially profiled, and that this is something that is unfair, and that it needs to be stopped. And that people need to realize that if they are part of that population that believes it's not an issue, there's a great chance that they're part of the problem, that this is continuing to go on.
And I know in our previous interview we spoke about the social media response about the last silent march on campus. What do you expect from this one?
I'm just hoping that we get a lot of support. I'm expecting, I guess, the same as I've always expected. I expect we'll have a lot of supporters. We'll have a lot of naysayers, people that believe that we don't have a reason to do this. But either way, I know where I stand, and clearly I have people here that stand with me. So,
thank you.
No problem.
And do you want to say anything on behalf of this? So what do you expect from this, or why are you doing this personally?
Okay, well, I'm doing it to bring awareness, you know, because at the end of the day, like Jared said, it isn't just a black or white thing. Everybody's dying at the hands of police. You know, a lot of people are. It's not Latinos, Caucasians, African Americans, a lot of folks. But we do need police officers to be held accountable, and we need to have everybody else see that this matters to us. Because sometimes when you don't see a population, you kind of disregard it. Not intentionally, but we need people to understand that we're here and that this is an issue that affects us as people of color. That's why I'm here.
So is there anything you'd like to say to the Ames or maybe Iowa State communities?
Just because it's not your truth doesn't mean it's not the truth.
We're just basically here today to bring remembrance to the lives that were lost due to causes of police brutality throughout the nation, and to, I guess, still bring awareness to it because there are a lot of people that are still unaware.
Why are you here today, or what would you like to say to the Ames community?
My name is Ontario Dre, and I'm actually a senior studying history and sociology. I'm here today to protest the violence that's been going on. Of course, the past few months, I know we had a demonstration last semester for the end of the school year. the country, we've seen the violence between Freddie Gray and Eric Garner, Michael White, and we are tired. As African Americans, as minorities in general, we are tired of police brutality. Now, we understand that not all police officers are violent, and we are aware of that, but we need for officers that are violent to be held accountable for such actions. Also, the labeling us as thugs, any minority, that has to stop, because that labeling on us, that causes problems, and that also causes distrust between both the community and the police officers. I'm actually looking to study such problems in grad school next spring. So that's why I'm here.
So what part of the term thug, or what about the term thug, do you not like?
I don't like the fact that when you hear the word thug, it's synonymous with African American. For some reason, thug life, quote unquote, whatever it is, the first image that comes to people's minds are African American male in particular, and also violence. It's synonymous with violence. That's why, as my sign reads, I am not a thug. We are not thugs. Not all of us as African American men, or African American people in general, are violent or thugs. Yes, there are a few bad apples, but they do not represent us as a whole community. As with anybody of any minority or any race, one bad apple or a few bad apples does not represent us as a community.
Okay, and I have read in some articles that the word thug has kind of replaced the N-word. Do you agree with that, or do you have anything to say for that?
I wholeheartedly agree. Thug has become a term that's not censored. I mean, it has become synonymous with the N-word, in my opinion. It has replaced it. As you look on the news, they say thug. As you hear conversations, they say thugs. And as I said before, it becomes synonymous with African-American men.
This is Local Talk, and we are listening to comments made by ISU students about the Black Lives Matter movement. The first person that you heard was Jared Ingram, and he was actually one of the first people that I interviewed as part of my internship. He is native of Ferguson, Missouri, and he's actually taken up this leadership role for the Black Lives Matter movement at Iowa State, which I think is great. Let's see. I'm Jasmine Regia, so one of your hosts for today, and I recorded those comments made by the ISU students. And I was also there to observe the route of the march that was taken on campus last Friday. The route was the same route that was taken during the fall semester, and it started at Parks Library, continued towards Cat Hall, and then, or the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, took a turn along Curtis Hall and continued towards the Memorial Union. But this time it was a little different. They didn't actually continue to be a silent march. And as the marchers approached Memorial Union, chants started and continued along Carver Hall until they reached, again, Parks Library. And it was interesting to note that students not participating in the march did not hesitate to take out their phones to possibly record a video, Snapchat it, snap a photo, or maybe just tweet about it on Twitter. So one student even cheered on the marchers, as I noticed walking down along with them. But let's listen to the next clip so you, the listener, can understand the moment that these students created on campus.
Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! Hands up, don't shoot! No justice, no peace! No justice, no peace! No justice, no peace. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter.
Calling out the violence of the racist police. We ain't gonna stop till the people are free.
I can hear my neighbor calling, I can't breathe.
I can hear my neighbor calling, I can't breathe.
Now I'm in the struggle and I can't leave.
Now I'm in the struggle and I can't leave.
Calling out the violence of the racist police.
Calling out the violence of the racist police.
we ain't gonna stop till people are free.
I can hear my neighbor calling, I can't breathe.
Now I'm in the struggle, and I can't leave.
Calling out the violence of the racist police.
We ain't gonna stop till people are free.
I can hear my neighbor calling, I can't breathe.
Now I'm in the struggle, and I can't leave.
Calling out the violence of the racist police.
We ain't gonna stop till people are free.
And I want to thank you all for coming out. We did three protests total, but two marching protests. One was silent. This last one, we had some chants going. I just wanted to emphasize two main points as to why I wanted to do a silent one as well as one where we spoke out. I believe that there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to be quiet, and there's a time to speak. Just as there's a time to listen. So, the first time, I believe there was a lot of mourning going on, and there still is, but just out of respect to a lot of the sadness that hit with all the events that happened, I want it to be silent so that we can be more of a symbol for that and remembrance for that. And this one, I just want it to be a chance for our voices to be heard, just to recognize that it is okay to speak out against these type of things, even though you may not be in the majority of the population who feels that it is not a problem. Whenever you realize that it is, it's okay to speak out, because a lot of the times it's due to people that are misinformed or uneducated about the issue, simply because that may just be how they were raised or that's all that they've known. But just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that there won't be a time for you to change. And I think that that's up to us to be able to change people's mindsets, to help educate other people, and to show each other love by speaking to our fellow neighbors and letting people know that this is an issue, and this is something that we are trying to bring a stop to. So I really do thank you all for coming out. I wish everybody the best of luck with their finals as you finish up this semester strong. I know some of you all will be graduating, so best of luck to you in all your future endeavors. But just thank you again. I do not plan for this to be the last protest for this issue. If this is still going on, you know, next semester, I do plan on organizing some more things so that we can have some demonstrations on campus to help educate some more people and show them the passion that we have for this issue and the passion that we have for our country. So thank you all again. Woo!
Hashtag Black Lives Matter, following the movement.
Okay. We will not be silent so that you can remain comfortable.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
To serve and protect, Black Lives Matter.
White silence equals violence. Hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Wake up, ISU. Wake up, America. Hashtag Black Lives Matter.
That last part you heard were students reading off their signs they brought to the Black Lives Matter march at Iowa State. Students from varying backgrounds, race, and ethnicity showed up to this march. Jared Ingram did say that they will continue to organize events for the next academic school year if police brutality issues are still a rising concern.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg here, and I'm Jasmine's co-host. Thanks for listening in. And did you know that May is National Bike to Work Month? Well, maybe you did, but I didn't until Dan DeGeest from the Ames Bicycle Coalition, otherwise known as ABC, told me this. In fact, Dan is here with us now. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about ABC. Who's in this? That's the Ames Bicycle Coalition.
Sure. The ABC was started a couple years ago. We're a group of volunteers. It's made up of people from Ames that are active bicyclists, and it was started actually by two people that moved here from Minneapolis, and they were kind of surprised to see what the state of affairs was with bicycling in Ames.
Which was?
Not as good as they had hoped, and they really wanted to see it be more like Minneapolis, or, you know, see what we could do to make it more inviting to more cyclists and get more people out on their bikes. So they started this group, and word just kind of spread sort of organically. They started with a Facebook page, and soon more and more people were learning about them. And then we started having official meetings, and we meet a couple times a month. And it's made up of about 13 regular people that come to the meetings. And we have about 720 or so people on our Facebook page. And so we're just become a very active group now in Ames talking about bicycle stuff.
And what were the goals when starting this group? What did they have, specific agenda?
Not a specific agenda other than to ultimately make bicycling in Ames fun, safe, and just more inviting to a larger group of people.
So when they started out, they mostly wanted to meet other cyclists and...
I think that when they started, it was more of they were surprised that there was not a lot of good routes across town, and they didn't always feel safe on the bicycle, and that it wasn't easy to just get on your bike and go from where you live to school or to the grocery store. They really wanted it to be more inviting to bicyclists as a mode of transportation, not just, you know, let's take a nice leisurely bike ride around Ada Hayden Park, which is beautiful, but we really want more cycling structure, infrastructure to make it a transportation alternative.
So that it's a regular part of the infrastructure of the city.
Correct.
When did you get involved?
I got involved probably about 2 years ago, as well.
And why did you get involved with that?
Well, I'm a longtime Ames resident, and I've been bicycling year-round to work for about 10 years, and I've been frustrated off and on, and I kind of became complacent and just kind of said, this is the way it is. I'm going to make the most of it, you know, kind of out there by myself. And at first I was a little hesitant to get involved because I had just sort of kind of given up a little bit on trying to make a difference. And these two folks came in from Minneapolis and just really inspired me to get active again. And so I started kind of slowly, just kind of keeping track of what they were doing, but then started attending meetings. And I've just continued to take a more active role in it, and it has had that benefit of I've made a lot of cycling friends now. There's a small community starting to form here, and when I cycle around, I'll see people I know, and it's really improved a lot. It's been great.
How did they inspire you? You mentioned that they inspired you. How did they do that? Did they say something or do something specifically?
I think they inspired me because they're younger, much younger than I am, and were willing to, you know, get involved and take action. And they weren't going to be happy just sitting around doing nothing. And I guess I just felt like, wow, you know, I'm an older person, a longtime resident of the community. How come I'm not doing something? And so that was kind of how they inspired me to get involved. And it's been great.
How many people are in the group now, actually?
We're kind of a loosely knit group. We don't have membership dues or any kind of official structure like that. I'd say we have about 10 people that come regular to our meetings and 10 people that are willing to take on specific roles, go out and do things, meet with people, talk to people, and then report back at the next meeting. We have a really nice setup where individuals can take on what they feel passionate about and go out and do their thing, come back to the meeting and report back what they accomplished.
Give us an example of something that somebody goes out to accomplish.
For example, we have a couple people that have taken time to go speak with, like, ISU representatives about bicycling stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on right now on campus with there's a class that's been trying to design a bicycle and start a bike share program on campus. Not one single member of ABC can be everywhere. So we've got this really nice structure where various people will go out and take on those different roles of meeting with different people and report back. Mm-hmm. And so that way we have people that are kind of familiar with what's going on with Iowa State. We have people who've been a little bit more active working with city council on city policy issues, an individual who's part of Story County Conservation, so we know what they're doing and what's going on with them. So we're really able to bring together all of this different bicycle stuff that's going on with all these different organizations and kind of be the central location of all that.
And Story County Conservation, that is primarily about bike trails?
And as far as it pertains to bicycling, yeah, they mm-hmm. would be involved with trails on the larger regional area, not just Ames proper.
So what is the status of bike share program in Ames?
That's a good question. We had the first ever bike summit on May 1st, last Friday. It was just kind of coincidental that it kicked off National Bike to Work Month. And we had people from the Iowa State class that's working on the bike share program. We had some representatives from Iowa State University, people from the city. I was there representing ABC and a few others. They've built a bike. So they actually designed and built their own bike. They have the kiosk for the bike that you would run your credit card through and take the bike out. I guess they're ready to move forward. They've also worked on a complete streets design guide. It's a document that they put together that would help city planners understand what kind of bike lanes or bike trails or bike treatments would work in different intersection situations, different streets, and that kind of thing. So they've done a lot of legwork, but I don't think that they're quite ready to pull the trigger on it yet.
So part of the bike share program is improving bicycling in Ames as well.
Right. It's an interesting situation in Ames, though, between Iowa State-owned land and then the city of Ames-controlled streets. So a big thing that we're trying to do is bring those two groups together and say, hey, let's get this unified network so mm-hmm. this thing works for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a big part of it would be improving trails and routes around the city before having these bikes that people could check out and ride around would be really effective.
Describe what that would actually look like.
So a bike share program is similar to something like they have in Des Moines. I believe it's called B-Cycle. Big cities like Minneapolis have this. And what they are is different locations around the city where there's bikes in a rack that are locked that you can rent and take them for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever you need it. And then you can bike to where you're going, which is hopefully near another one of these bike stations. And then you can just check the bike back in.
Mm-hmm. It's an ideal program for a city like Ames where everything's relatively close to each other.
Yes, it would work really well here, I think.
Mm-hmm. We're not quite there yet. Can you give us a scoop here? On
I don't think I have the inside track on that. You know, it's an interesting project because it's a combination of academic learning. And, you know, the bike, building the bike was a design class. And so there's a lot of that sort of balance of a teaching university mm-hmm. and actually developing a real viable program.
So you're saying if we have a bike share program, it's going to be with our own special local bicycle.
That's the hope, yes. Custom made by Iowa State students.
Okay, well, it better be good.
So probably, I would say we're probably a couple years out yet on that project.
Okay.
And would probably ultimately have to involve the city and some other people.
So why do they need to design a whole new bike for this?
The way I understood it is that most of these bike share programs do design their own bike, not necessarily maybe to the level that they did, but it was a big part of it was a teaching opportunity because it's an interdisciplinary program. We had industrial design students, you know, engineering students, community and regional planning. So it just gave everybody a chance to learn in the areas of that they're interested in.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll really own that bike as a community then.
Yeah. I believe it's been called the Cybike now, so it really is an Ames bike.
Guess we could have seen that coming.
Right. Yeah. Cybike.
Cyride was taken, so.
What is National Bike to Work Week? Sure. No, let's start with the month.
Okay.
It's National Bike to Work Month, and next week is National Bike to Work Week.
Correct.
So explain
all this. And next week Friday
this.
Is National Bike to Work Day.
Day. So next Friday, a week from today is
you
National.
You can be involved at whatever granularity that you want. You can bike one day, you can bike for the week, or you can try to bike the whole month. So
you could even bike the whole year.
You could. They don't have National Bike to Work year, but.
Explain.
Okay. So National Bike to Work Month was started in 1956 by the League of American Bicyclists. And it's really just a opportunity to allow organizations like the ABC and local communities promote cycling in their areas. It's not really a structured program. It's just sort of recognized as every May is going to be National Bike to Work Month. Communities can decide how they want to take advantage of that.
You hear a lot of, you know, months dedicated to certain issues. These are not actual official government decrees. These are, in a sense, decisions that are made by national organizations and then asking the people that are interested in this topic to promote the idea.
Correct.
To call attention to
Correct.
It. Yeah.
Right. So the League of National Bicyclists is loosely, the top national organization for people interested in cycling. They take care of things like cities that want to be labeled as bike-friendly cities. They also have the bike-friendly business program. So they administer all that. They provide the framework for how cities measure their bike-friendly status, and then they can get rated on different levels like bronze, silver, gold, and platinum.
How are we doing in Ames?
Well, interestingly, Ames has not done it yet. So that's one of our goals with the ABC is to get the city to fill out the application and find out where we kind of land and see where we need to go to improve.
Okay. Well, we're going to have some events in the area for National for Bike to Work Week. Tell us what's happening.
Okay. We have a lot of them. And I'm going to get out the list so I don't miss any.
Okay. Cool. Is this only in Ames or is it outside of Ames as well?
The events that we're promoting are mostly here in Ames,
and
we also have some businesses that have agreed to do some specials for cyclists in the month of May as well. So I can touch on those real quick as well. So we have things kicking off tomorrow. There's a concert at Blue Stem, which is at 3329 West Lincoln Way. National touring artist Willie Porter is going to be having a concert there. And anybody arriving by bicycle can get $1 off the ticket price. Monday, May 11th. So this is the start of National Bike to Work Week. And at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., there'll be a bike commuter breakfast that's actually being put on by the City of Ames. We went to them and they actually passed a motion and we'll be hosting a breakfast for all bicycle commuters. And we're hoping to have some or all of the city council members there. We're trying to encourage them to bike with us. So some of members from the ABC are actually going to go and pick up city council members and bike with them to City Hall. So it'll be a great opportunity to come and meet your city council people and talk about bicycling in Ames and get some free breakfast. May 12th, Tuesday, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. is a handlebar happy hour. People are encouraged to bicycle over to the Mucky Duck, and you can meet your fellow cyclists and share a pint of beer or whatever you like. On Wednesday, we have another bike commuter breakfast from 7 to 9 a.m. This one's sponsored by Bike World. This will be held in Brookside Park, so you can try to plan your route through the park and come meet up with other cyclists and, again, have some free breakfast. And then on Friday, which is National Bike to Work Day, from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m., we have another commuter breakfast, and this time sponsored by Skunk River Cycles, who's been promoting Bike to Work Week for as long as I can remember, and Ron from Skunk has held a breakfast for bicyclists every Friday, and it's always full of great food and always a good chance to also talk with your fellow cyclists. And then we have a couple more events to round out the month. Another handlebar happy hours, Westtown Pub out in West Ames. And then on May 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll be partnering with you at KAHY, actually, for the Bike-In Cinema.
That's right. There'll be a movie here at KHOI.
Yes. So that is on the 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. And a group will meet at the Memorial Union, and then we're going to ride bikes down here and then watch the films.
Great. So. Well, we're running out of time, so we have to wrap up real quick. We've been speaking with Dan DeGeest from ABC, Ames Bicycle Coalition, about Bike to Work Week. Lots of things to do. You have a website where people can go?
We do, amesbicyclecoalition.org.
So amesbicyclecoalition.org. We'll also put a link to that on our website, so check it out.
Yep, and we also have a Facebook page, Ames Bicycle Coalition. You can search for us there, and we try to keep a lot of information going through that route as well.
Okay, great.
And this is Local Talk. Before we end the show, let's check in with Belinda Merritt's music concert calendar.
Hello, this is Belinda Merritt, and I have the live music for May 8th through the 14th. On Friday, May 8th, Kurt Behringer's Too Tall for You will be at Mother's Pub, 2900 West Street, from 9 o'clock p.m. until 1 o'clock a.m. Old School will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Brooks Strauss, Christopher the Concord,
Gloom Balloon and Secret Freedom will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Saturday, May 9th, Equilibrium Dance Party will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. Willie Porter with guest Andy Gosling of Railroad Earth will be at Blue Stem, which was formerly Zeke's, 3329 Lincoln Way at 8 o'clock p.m. All ages are welcome, and tickets are available at eventbrite.com. On Sunday, May 10th, Bill Martin Group will be at Snooze Hill Winery, 2183 320th Street, Madrid, from 2 until 5 o'clock p.m. Asphate, Hell Scent, and Bat Sauce, Quasar and Bat Sauce, and Lady Disney will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Monday, May 11th, Jason Surratt will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. On Thursday, May 14th, Jack Lyon and Fat Sky will be at DG's Tap House, 125 Main Street. That's all I have for this week. Thank you.
This has been Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today we spoke with Bernice Real and Bernice Liborio from the Latino Student Initiatives, student organization at Iowa State. We also heard from Jared Ingram and Selma Sims, ISU students who support the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as sounds of the march at ISU and some other students' comments on the movement.
Dan DeGeese from ABC, Ames Bicycles Coalition, also joined us. Remember, next week is Bike to Work Week, and there is lots to do. Besides biking to work, check it out at
www.amesbicyclecoalition.org.
And Facebook page?
Ames Bicycle Coalition on Facebook as well.
Music you heard was Once in a Mara by the Mavericks and original music by Josiah Cosme for the Black Lives Matter video. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards. I have been one of your hosts, Jasmine Regia, together with Ursula Rudenberg.
Our engineer today was Rebecca Brown. You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And see listings of our guests and resource contact information. You can also, if you enjoyed this show, tell your friends.
Local Talk is a radio production, training workshop, as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and thank you again for your donations. See you again on the radio.